KNOM Update News, I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. Alaska state troopers say the remains of two pilots have been found in the wreckage of a small commercial plane that crashed on Tuesday afternoon outside of Bethel. They belong to 42-year-old Derek Cedars of Bethel and 46-year-old Gregory McGee of Anchorage. The burned wreckage of the Cessna 208 operated by Hagelin Aviation was found near Three Step Mountain. Hagelin says there's no way to immediately determine who was at the controls. The National Transportation Safety Board is currently investigating the crash. The NTSB also is investigating another crash of a Hagelin Aviation Cessna 208 last November. Four people were killed and six injured in that crash outside of St. Mary's. Hagelin Aviation is part of Raven, Alaska. Day two of the Kuwerik Regional Conference kicked off with the two-foot high kick, part of the Native Youth Olympics demonstrations yesterday morning at the Nome Rec Center. Competitive youth showed off their skills in events like stick pull, toe kick, kneel jump, and one-armed reach, games that test agility, balance, and strength, and have their origins in readying youths for hunting activities. Students from Teller and St. Michael participated, along with Nome's own, and even an elder went up for a kick of his own. In her keynote address that morning, Colleen Yari Walker recounted the struggles she faced overcoming alcohol addiction and described to the audience her journey to healing over the past 27 years. Elizabeth Medicine Crow and Kyle Wark of the First Alaskans Institute led a working group session about overcoming generational trauma. Students, elders, and community members from around the region viewed a historical timeline of Alaska Native history. Then participants broke off into small groups to discuss how such historical incidents resonate forward into culture, policy, collective Native identity, and communities. Afterwards, potential solutions were offered for confronting generational trauma. Medicine Crow applauded the diversity of perspectives shared, as well as people's openness. Kuwerik's social science director, Julie Raymond Yacobian, discussed traditional knowledge projects conducted in the Bering Strait region, which gathered traditional knowledge about the local fish, marine mammals, and ocean currents, and the links in between. And because humans rely on natural elements for subsistence in the region, environmental changes are implicitly human impacts. Raymond Yacobian has made this traditional knowledge available to policymakers to guide them in creating procedures for the Bering Strait region regarding Arctic shipping routes, spill response, and more. Next, James Stotts, president of the Inuit Circumpolar Council for Alaska, addressed the crowd. The ICC represents Inuit in Alaska, Canada, Russia, and Greenland. It works to unify Inuit in the circumpolar region, promote Inuit rights and interests, and develop long-term policies that safeguard the Arctic environment. The ICC will hold a workshop in Nome next week, and Stotts, originally from Barrow, himself encouraged people to attend. In a following presentation, Gay Sheffield with the UAF Marine Advisory Program outlined unusual wildlife events that have occurred in the Bering Strait over the last 3 years. Beginning in 2011, the region witnessed diseased seals spanning four species. Even after extensive testing, the seals remain undiagnosed. In 2012, Shishmaref and St. Lawrence Island discovered seals coated in oil. The Coast Guard responded with a full investigation, but the oil source remains unknown. 2013 saw a beaked whale beached near Gamble, the first recorded beaching of a beaked whale in the Bering Strait. Later that year, thousands of dead birds washed ashore on St. Lawrence Island, and the birds were diagnosed with avian cholera, the first recorded incidence of the disease in Alaska. Sheffield says all these events pose a threat to public health and food security, through the events, communities have created a communication system to report these unusual occurrences. A panel from the Coast Guard addressed concerns over shipping in the Bering Straits region. Sudi Parkas told the audience how the Coast Guard is coordinating with the regional entities to identify subsistence hunting waters that could be prioritized in the case of a spill. She also talked about the different programs that will be run this summer as part of Operation Arctic Shield, which includes monitoring gold dredging vessels, attending whaling meetings, and coordinating on ice rescue training. Other panel members spoke on Arctic infrastructure, a report that identifies Nome and Port Clarence as the two best options for a deep draft Arctic port configuration is currently under review at Coast Guard headquarters in Washington, D.C. One commander with the group emphasized that right now the Coast Guard is keenly aware about how much less they know than the people of the region about the Arctic environment, and that their biggest job right now is just listening. A second presentation from the Social Sciences Division addressed the topic of traditional knowledge on supernatural phenomena. Though Raymond Yacobian quickly admitted there's no perfect term for the subject matter, she asked the audience if they knew of a more accurate way to describe myths and figures spoken of across the circumpolar north. Raymond Yacobian explained Couric's aim is to make a book documenting traditional knowledge on the subject by meeting with elders and IRA councils across the region, and about how sensitive the nature of the topic can be when speaking aloud about little people, sea monsters, and other entities in such a setting. Throughout the nearly two-hour presentation, people shared their own stories of encounters with different phenomena and their opinions on whether the topic ought to be discussed at all. The night ended with dance and music performances from groups across the region. The conference continues through today and will wrap up with a potluck and more dancing and singing performances tonight. All are invited to attend. Tuesday night's regular Board of Education meeting focused on final adjustments to the proposed fiscal year 2015 budget. With vital allocations from the legislature and the city of Nome still hanging in the balance, though, board members were left with the difficult task of budgeting for the worst-case scenario in order to prepare for the possibility of no money coming through. Before reviewing the final numbers, the public commenting period saw four teachers and parents ask for the board to reconsider proposed cuts at the Nome preschool. Acknowledging the difficult decisions the board has to make, parent Elise Davis, a former educator herself, spoke about the benefits from having an extra certified teacher on staff.
And I want to say that it has been such a nice program this year to have my son part of and to know that other children in the community are part of. And I love walking the doors. They've had nice staffing this year. They've had a nice healthy partnership. So when I show up every single day, there's always a smile for me, for my child. My child enjoys being there, feels safe.
The board discussed the possibility of removing a full-time janitor from the district to try and free up funds for the preschool position. None of the options available, however, were a silver bullet, and board president Betsy Brennan stressed that cuts would need to be on the table until the final budget numbers were determined in May.
I would like to wait until we see what the legislature does to... And I don't like it because I was a preschool parent at one point, and I know the value of preschool and Head Start in this community. And I think once we get to May and we see what happens, then we delve into making adjustments to the budget we're going to pass tonight.
Later in the meeting, NPS's technology director, Robin Johnson, broke down the numbers on her department's request for around $200,000 in additional funds for this year. Half of that money, Johnson explained, is to buy new computers for the high school, which haven't seen a single new unit since 2010. Forgoing system updates the last couple of years has meant a lower annual technology budget, but has rendered Nome Belt's fleet of computer carts outdated, risking inoperability, along with disturbingly smelly odors as glue in the laptops begins to break down. The board easily moved through measures updating policies related to restraint and seclusion, extracurricular activities, and suicide prevention and special education. The next meeting will be on April 29th at 5:30 in the Nome Elementary School Library. Price of gold in New York up $6.70 to $13.20 an ounce. Silver up 25 cents to $20.07 an ounce. And zinc is still at 92 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to depart on time from Nome at 11:41 this morning. Unofficially, 8 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.